Trib Live Radio presents Panther Lair, hosted by Pitt insider Chris Peek of PantherLair.com. A full hour of Pitt football, basketball, and recruiting talk. Trib Total Media. See what's next. Now, here's your host, Chris Peek.
Welcome to the Panther Lair's Athletic Director. Scott Barnes is there. Pat Narduzzi, Jamie Dixon, Susie McConnell-Serio down there discussing all the important things going on in college athletics in the ACC. And one topic that came up was the grad transfer rule. And one prominent person who's against or opposed to the current graduate transfer rules is Scott Barnes. And when you read what he says, and you know what? That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Good players, I was thinking about this, good players, good football players, basketball players, they really have few opportunities to control their own destinies throughout their, you know, athletic careers. They choose a school when they're a recruit, so they've got an option there. And then if you can get to the NFL and get through your first two times where you can choose your own destiny, choose for yourself. Everything else, it's controlled. You want to transfer to a different school? Go ahead, but you have to sit out for a year, and that's only if your former school decides to approve the school that you want to go to. You go to the NFL, you get drafted. You don't get to choose what team you go to, you get drafted. The graduate transfer rule, Scott Barnes, Pitt's athletic director, you know, he doesn't like it that most grad transfers don't actually get graduate degrees. He's got some numbers. Apparently, only a third of players who do this grad transfer thing end up getting graduate degrees. I understand that's the point of the grad transfer rule, is that they would get these degrees, but I think Barnes is missing the bigger picture here. These guys got undergrad degrees. They complete. It's almost a reward for getting their degree. You know, you came in, you worked hard, you got your education, you want to go somewhere else for a year, go to it and play. Now, Pat Narduzzi had a quote on this too. He said, I think this was in the Post-Gazette, he said, quote, "Let's say Tyler Boyd got his fifth year, he graduates, we know he's a great player, but he says, I think I'm going to play at USC my final year. What the for these guys, for these kids?" Narduzzi went on to say, quote, "Here we are trying to graduate our kids early and get them out before 3.5 years, and all of a sudden now they're leaving you? Yeah, if they finish their degrees and they have a year left, I think you've both gotten plenty out of that relationship. And if they want to leave, let them. Sometimes, so I know this is crazy, but sometimes it's okay to do right." PantherLair.com. And this grad transfer thing, I don't understand why these guys are so worked up about it. In the negative way, I'm worked up about it, but I mean worked up because they're getting worked up against it. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, Barnes, and I think this was in the paper, had said about only a third or less than a third actually get their degrees. They accomplished something. They came what they came to do. They served their time. They served 3 or 4 years, however many years it took. Why not reward them a little bit? Something like a third of FBS football players and more than half of men's basketball players don't even graduate undergrad. They don't even get their undergrad degrees. Can't we reward the guys who do? So, lots to talk about on today's show. Had to open up with a little talk about the grad transfer thing. And, of course, Pitt's got a few of those coming in. Jamie Dixon has the guard, Sterling Smith, and the center, Rafael Maya. And then on the football side, Pat Narduzzi's got Nathan Peterman, who actually graduated after 3 years at Tennessee, the quarterback coming in. He'll be eligible to play right away for a year. And so Pitt is obviously benefiting from having graduate transfers, but it's not even really about that. It's just, I feel pretty strongly about it. I think these kids should have an opportunity. These guys, because they're 20, 21 years old, they should have the opportunity to control their own fates for a little while. But enough about that. We'll talk about some Pitt stuff today. Of course, where you start with quarterbacks. And each week, we'll look at the position. We'll look at the past, present, and future of the position. Past of quarterbacks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not good. We're not going all the way back to Marino. We're only going back about the last 10 years. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So we'll start with the present as it goes with the quarter from the Youngstown Vindicator. We're going to start our season preview series. Opponent by opponent, we'll start off with Youngstown State, Pitt's opener. The first game of the Pat Narduzzi era. Incidentally, the same opponent who opened the Paul Christ era. We'll see. I don't think the Pat Narduzzi era will get off to such an ignominious start as the Paul Christ era did against Youngstown State, but kind of what the reception has been at Youngstown State for Pelini so far. And the thing I also want to ask Joe Scalzo, we all keep talking and always reference the 2012 Youngstown State game. It still resonates around here. Pitt's first loss to an FCS opponent ever. I wonder if in Youngstown it still resonates. Do you think Youngstown State fans still kind of bring up that game or break down Pitt's quarterback position, past, present, and future? After that, we will get into a little Youngstown State preview. All that's coming up next on the Panther Lair Show here on Trib Live Radio.
Now back to Chris Peek on the Panther Lair Show on Trib Live Radio.
Welcome back, Panther Lair Show. Chris Peek, publisher of PantherLair.com. You know the website, PantherHiker.com message boards. Always active with hundreds and thousands of your closest Pitt fan friends. Lots of stuff we're discussing on there these days. But our focus on today's show and our focus really over the next few months is going to be getting ready for the 2015 football season. I say next few months, but it's going to be here sooner than you expect. Past, present, and future. You know, where they are now, where they came from, and where they're going in terms of recruiting. And we start, of course, with quarterbacks. That's a position at the top of the list. Any discussion of football positions has to start with quarterbacks. And we'll start with the present, because the past is really unpleasant to talk about when it comes to Pitt quarterbacks. So we start with the present. And the present, of course, is Chad Vojtěch. Redshirt junior this year. First year as a starter last season. And you know, it's interesting because it seems to have been kind of taken as a given when we talk about this offense, what's going to be good, what's James Conner, they got this offensive line that should be really good, they got some really impressive tight ends, they got Chad Vojtěch back for his second year. But I don't know if Vojtěch is quite a part of it yet. I don't know if he can be in that same group as Boyd, Conner, the O-line, and the tight ends. I feel a lot of confidence. I feel supreme confidence still in wait-and-see mode. He still needs to prove that he can do it for a full season. And he was better in the second half of 2014. There's no question about that. You look at the stats. I broke them down today. First seven games of the year. So that's Delaware, BC, FIU, Iowa, Akron, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. And I think we would all agree games. He completed less than 60% of his passes, averaged less than 150 yards per game, threw nine touchdowns and six interceptions. He had an interception in every game except the Delaware game. Second half, he increased his completion percentage to 65%, threw for almost 200 yards a game, 198.7, seven touchdowns, and disappointing. And I thought this at the time, and I think this even more now after talking to different people, it's disappointing that it took the coaching staff last year half a season to figure out what to do with Chad Vojtěch. I asked Jim Chaney that during the spring. I said, when you watched film of Chad throughout the season last year, what happened for him? I know that you never really know what a guy is or what he can do until the games, until the lights come on and he goes out on the field and really actually plays in a game. But it shouldn't have taken six games, seven games to figure out what to do with Chad Vojtěch. Paul Christ had coached Chad Vojtěch. That was the third year with working with Chad Vojtěch within him. The upside for this year is that Jim Chaney at least recognizes how the staff adjusted should be good. That should be encouraging. Chaney, in theory, should be able to tailor this offense and what he asked Vojtěch to do better to Vojtěch's strengths. We'll see how that plays out. But Vojtěch just needs to be better. And you know what? As good as he was in the second half, and he was good. 64.6% completion, 190. He's the X factor. He really is. He can make a good offense, which is what this offense should be. He can make it great. Pitt's offense wasn't great in 2014. Our narrative is shaped to that. Pitt just had this great offense last year, and if the defense could have been just a little bit better. I've said this a million times, and I'll say it a million more, that the defense played well enough to win those games. And it was the offense that let the team down. You know, I mean, when you lose 24-20, 21-10, and 24-19, your offense is what failed there. Scoring 20, 10, and 19 in three games, we forget that those three losses are on the offense, and even more specifically, a lot of it, maybe all of it, was on Chad Vojtěch. So the offense was pretty good last year, not great, and was pretty inconsistent, certainly through the first half of the season. And a lot of that had to do with Chad Vojtěch. Now he's okay. His second half stats were just okay. He needs to be good. He needs to be an asset rather than simply not a weakness. Chad Vojtěch has more to prove than anyone else on this roster in 2015. And if he plays well, really well, the team will win at least eight games. I can almost guarantee that. Now, I've learned over the years, you don't guarantee anything. The Packers will win. There's no way, I guarantee the Packers will win. And, well, Michael Vick won. So I learned way back then that you don't guarantee anything unless you want to be positive that it will go the other way. So I'm not going to guarantee that they will win eight games if Chad Wojtek plays really well. That remains to be seen. But he's the X factor. If this team wins 9 or 10 games, it's going to be because Chad Wojtek has a great season. Not a good season, not an okay season, not a average season like he had last year, but a great season. I think he's capable of it. I don't know if it will happen. Nathan Peterman, the transfer from Tennessee. I'm not going to make Nathan Peterman out to be the savior of Pitt football. We've all fallen into that trap way too many times in the past. But what I do believe is this, and this is what the coaches believe as well, Peterman's going to come in and provide competition for Chad Wojtek, and that's a good thing. Needs to be pushed. He wasn't pushed last year. Trey Anderson wasn't winning that job. Adam Burtke wasn't winning that job. He wasn't pushed this spring because Adam Burtke isn't winning that job. Now, that's not to say that Wojtek slacks, okay? He's probably the hardest working guy on the team. But having a legitimate competitor, someone who could... Real competition from Nathan Peterman can make him give a little more. And when we talk about the past of Pitt quarterbacks, one thing you don't find over the last 10 years is competition. When was the last legitimate quarterback competition at Pitt? 2011, maybe? It's so bad. He wanted it terribly bad. And that's why you saw guys like, you saw Anderson and Myers get more playing time than they should have. And you also saw how quickly they came out because neither one was really that close to Chad, to Tino Cinceri. So that wasn't really a competition. 2009, it looked like a quarterback competition in training. Stahl, of course, coming off the horrid performance in the Sun Bowl. But even that, you know, I don't think it was actually... I reported it and covered it as a real quarterback competition because that's what it looked like, but I don't think it really was because in retrospect, if Bill Stahl still won, still ended up being the starting quarterback, then there wasn't really a competition because he largely got... Right? I mean, that's how far back you have to go. You have to go 10 years to find the last legitimate quarterback competition at Pitt. I mean, go year by year and, you know, Palko... Really, I don't even know if that was... that legit of a competition. Maybe you have to go even the year before that of Palko versus Flacco. Nobody was going to win that job away. 2011, we talked about. 2012, it was going to be Tino. 2013, it was going to be Tom Savage. They weren't going to start Chad Wojtek over Tom Savage. And last year, Chad had no competition. You have to go 10 years to find a real quarterback competition at Pitt. And that, I mean, so the last thing on the present I will say, see, not a ton. And not all that successful, but it's experience. He's got a connection with the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator recruited Nathan Peterman from Florida over a kid in the same class in that state of Tennessee named Chad Wojtek. There's going to be some competition, and it's going to put pressure on Chad Wojtek. And he's in. You're going to have someone who outplayed the other. So you should end up with a pretty good product on the field. Now, I talked about the lack of quarterback competitions over the last how long? 10 years. And you say, how does that happen? Well, remember last week we talked about how recruiting is what... If you're feeling queasy right now, you might not want to listen to this. If you are prone to emotions, if you're an emotional person who sometimes cries, you may not want to listen to this. You might want to find something warm and fuzzy to hug because this will probably make you sad. And it'll get this. Dexter Davidson and Kevin Smith were your quarterback recruits. 2007, your quarterback recruit was Pat Bostic. 2008, Greg Cross and Tino Cinceri. 2009, your quarterback recruit was Colby Gray, quarterback turned safety turned country music star. 2010, Mark Myers and Anthony Gonzalez. 2011, Trey Anderson, who... 2012, they signed Chad Wojtek. They also brought in Tom Savage as a transfer. 2013, Trayvon Chapman. 2014, Adam Burtke. And then that brings us up to the most recent recruiting class, 2015, Ben DiNucci and Nathan Peterman. And then the current commitment, Thomas McVitie. We'll get into him in a second when we talk about the future. But that list of names, I just named four, if you want to count Tom Savage, won a football game as a starting quarterback at Pitt. That list is a trail of tears. That list is a pile of things that I don't even want to talk about, even on a, an you know, an internet radio slash podcast where we're free to say any words that we feel are appropriate for a situation. Pitt football and Pitt basketball had struggled in the last couple of years. We said, well, all comes back to recruiting, and broke it down and really got in depth about it. That, you know, I said all the pieces matter. Remember, I dropped that one in there. This is what it is. This is why Pitt has struggled. This is one big reason. And we don't even need to talk about coaching turnover, transitions, or anything like that. Won a football game at Pitt. Pat Bostic, who, I mean, I love Pat. His biggest wins were 13-9 in 2007 and the 4-overtime win at Notre Dame in 2008. And I've said it a million times, so I don't need to say it again, but if you want to ever look it up, compare his stats in those games with Tino Cinceri, we've wasted enough time in all of our collective lives talking about Tino Cinceri and what he did and didn't do at Pitt. Chad Wojtek, one season, very average performance, not good at points early in the season, got better as the year went on, one season. Tom Savage, only one year, guys who won a football game, the only quarterbacks. This is not exactly a spectacular list. And this is how you end up where you are. So where's Pitt going? Well, oh, and a bunch of those guys never even made it anywhere. Greg Cross, I don't think, finished his eligibility. Colby Gray left early. Mark Myers transferred out. Anthony Gonzalez moved to line his eligibility at Pitt. And then, Adam Berkey's still here, so you got that. You look ahead, though. Kind of the good thing about Pitt for right now is they should be able to build some continuity. So they've got, right now, on the roster, they have Chad Wojtek. They've got Berkey. They'll bring in Nathan Peterman and Ben DiNucci. That's a solid set of... So that's pretty solid. If these guys progress and pan out and all of that, it's good to build a little continuity. They'll have 4 scholarship quarterbacks this year. They'll have 5 next year. 2017, they'll have Berkey, DiNucci, and McVitie, plus a recruit in the class of 2017. Ideally, one of those guys will be ready. 17, either Berkey or DiNucci takes over, or McVitie's ready because he'll have... he'll have a year of experience at least. You need to rebuild that continuity, and that's what they fell into, is they just didn't have any of it. You had 2 scholarship quarterbacks this spring, in Chad Wojtek and Adam Berkey. Tom Savage and Chad Wojtek, or last year you had Chad and Trey. You just didn't have a whole lot of arms. They're going to have more arms. They're going to build some continuity, and that should help rebuild the position. Now, we'll see if they've evaluated and developed the position better than it was done in the past, because I think that was a major problem, was evaluations and development. But the story of McVitie, kind of what his backstory is, he hasn't been a starting quarterback at Mueller for whatever reason. I mean, for one, they tend to favor the senior starters. There might have been some politics at play, that kind of thing. But McVitie, Pitt might have found a steal here. Pitt might have found a steal. Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator, knows a guy named Skip Move. He's got a big arm. Stitzel's been training him for a while. I actually talked to Skip Stitzel earlier this week. Look for an article on Friday on PantherLayer.com with some really interesting insight into who McVitie is and how he got to the point he's at now, and where Stitzel, who's been training quarterbacks for 20 years, thinks McVitie will go. And I mean, I'm not gonna... And he's improved his footwork. And his arm has gotten stronger. He's still 6'5". He's a big dude. He can still move fast. He's going to be the starter at Mueller this year. And I tell you, I'm excited to watch what he does. I'm excited to see how he plays this season at Cincinnati Mueller as the starting quarterback. That's a big-time program in a pretty good area for football in Cincinnati. Some moments where you get nervous, because if he has a big season, he's going to blow up. And he's going to get some recruiting interest. And he's going to get some interest probably from some Big Ten schools that – he says he's solid. His quarterback coach says he's solid. These guys they say that nothing would switch his commitment from Pitt. But you know what? We'll see how that all plays out. I think if you're a Pitt fan, you want him to have a big season. You want him to draw that extra interest. And then you want him to stick with Pitt. That should be how it all plays out. You have to watch and see. But that's the quarterback position. That's the past. That's the present. And that's the future. And some pretty solid continuity for the next few years. They've set a foundation, or they seem to have set a foundation going forward. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then coming back, we'll talk to Joe Scalzo from the Youngstown Vindicator. He covers Youngstown State football. We're going to begin our 2015 opponent preview with a look at the Penguins with Joe Scalzo from Youngsville.
The White Deer Run Co-Forge Bowling Green Network of Treatment Facilities provides all levels of care for drug and alcohol addiction. 24-hour-a-day admission staff are standing by. Call today at 866-769-6822 or learn more at whitedeerrun.com or bowlinggreenbrandywine.
PantherLair.com, Panther-Lair.com is the website. And we're efforting to get Joe Scalzo from the Youngstown Vindicator on the air to break down Youngstown State. And this, I wonder, I mean, we all still talk about Pitt-Youngstown State 2000. That was Pitt's first loss ever to an FCS opponent. And not to mention Youngstown State's first win ever over an FBS opponent. And it was an ignominious start to the Paul Christ era. And there were a lot of reasons why that game was lost. I don't know if those absences cost Pitt that game, like not having those specific players cost them that game. But I do think the mentality that those suspensions reflect, insofar as those players were not taking approach, to me, kind of reflects what happened in that game, that they weren't taking it seriously enough, that they weren't truly committed to it. And whether that's a reflection, I mean, it's definitely a reflection on Paul Christ because that was his team and he's the head coach and those things reflect on him. It's also a reflection on the players, and the players deserve a lot of responsibility. And did things get better? Sure, they got better. I mean, you almost beat Notre Dame that year, right? You did beat Notre Dame in 2013. There were highlights over the years, and the Youngstown State game, it just wasn't a good start, and it set a bad tone. The Cincinnati game was probably even worse still in all of our consciousness. It gets mentioned, and people make jokes about it. I mean, you heard Ken Laird before this show say that, ask sort of jokingly, oh, is the Narduzzi era going to start the same way the Christ era started and all that. I don't think it will, but we'll obviously have to see how it plays out on the field. And these are two very different teams. We're going to bring in Joe Scalzo from the Youngstown Vindicator. He covers YSU football for the Vindicator. Joe, thanks for joining us so much today on the Panther Lair Show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad we could get you on to talk a little bit about the Penguins. And, I was kind of talking just now about that 2012 game when they opened the season at Heinz. Resonates. Does that game still resonate for Youngstown State fans? Programs first and only win over an FBS program and all of that. Does that still resonate? Do people still talk about that game, or is it kind of faded into the ether, so to speak?
I think they talk about it both as sort of a sense of pride, but also a sense of frustration because they started so well, that pressure is on. They didn't deliver. So I think they kind of see that like, Youngstown State was able to win that game, but they really weren't able to win any the really, really important games later in the year.
It seems like Wolford, kind of reading some of the stuff that you wrote about him when he was fired, it seems like part of the feeling is that he didn't maybe have much stability in the program. A lot of stability, I don't think, has always been associated with him. What went into the decision to go after Pelini? What went into Pelini's decision to go to Youngstown State? What are they looking for out of him, I guess, to improve on what Wolford did?
Well, I think that, the number one thing about that instability was that Wolford always kind of had the attitude of, you better deliver or I'm going to, and you're constantly looking for the next guy. And I think what they've seen from Pelini so far, and really my impressions of him has been very different from kind of the public perception of him, but he's kind of more of a, what can the coaching staff do to help the players kind of attitude. And I think I think number one, they were looking. The other thing, though, I think is just, they went after Pelini just because, why wouldn't you? If you're an FCS school, you could get a guy like that. You're going to do it 100 times out of 100.
Is the feeling that they got kind of a coup, that they sort of, even at the price that they're paying him, that they got kind of a coup, got sort of stole him a little bit?
Or? Absolutely. I mean, he's close to the tab, and also because Bo is a Youngstown guy, and I think he's happy to be here for a lot of reasons. But, they really needed a jolt, I think, in terms of just energizing the fan base. As well, people have really kind of just tuned out Youngstown State football over the last few years, and this guy, I'm talking about it again.
Did you go into spring camp expecting the fiery, crazy Bo Pelini and get something a little different from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously most people know he's not like a fire-breathing cartoon character all the time. But, you know, you do kind of think that you're going to see that a little bit. And I think, you know, part of it is that he is hot-tempered. He always has been. But he's enjoying being at home. And I think also that some of it is just that, you know, sometimes when you are perceived as a certain way, then people look for that. Maybe he wasn't always, you know, crazy in practice or in games, but, you know, those times when, you know, his temper did flare up, people would kind of blow it out of proportion because.
And all that, is that, you know, I know we're a long ways away from the game, but is that mm-hmm. added a little bit of juice to this, drum up a little extra interest for this game, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does, and I think you're going to see Coach Narduzzi play it up a little bit, both because of what happened in 2012 and also because he's been pretty vocal about the fact that he doesn't like, you know, when he was at Michigan State and they played Youngstown State, he talked about how it was still personal because he felt like his dad kind of got a raw deal towards the end at Youngstown State, and he kind of carries it around still.
This is Joe Scalzo from the Youngstown Vindicator joining us here to talk a little YSU football. Tell me about last season, Joe. Youngstown State opened 4-1, then they went.
Part of it was that they had played a little bit of a soft schedule leading up to the end there. Two of those losses were against teams that I think that played in the championship game. So those weren't the big deal. It was the second to last game against Indiana State. They played a team that wasn't very good the year before, probably should have won. And it was just sort of like, you know, standpoint, they just didn't deliver. And you know, I think the feeling was that it was the coaching staff that, number one, at the end of the day, Eric Wolford could not out-coach the guy on the other side, you know, the field. If that's the truth, and I think it was, then you got to make a change.
And kind of where's he at now? Does he seem like a guy who's just finishing up his freshman year of college, or has he developed quite a bit over the last year?
He's a guy who played a lot in high school, and you can tell right away when he played last year that he just got how to play that position. You know, physically, he's an FCS level player. I think mentally, he's probably a little bit can diagnose the play and the defense before it starts and makes the right decision. And, you know, maybe physically isn't hugely talented, but good enough. I think, you know, they've been pretty happy with his growth, you know, heading in, you know, through the spring as well, and also in last season.
And then the running back, Martin Ruiz, I think top 20 in the FCS.
Fast guy, but he's fast enough. Good vision, good balance, you know, kind of a, you know, one cut and go kind of guy. And I think he's a guy that, you know, they kind of stole out of the Tampa area. He should be playing at the FBS level. He's very good. And just, you know, you see a lot of guys that just blend a lot of things that do, you know, the running backs do really well.
And more than they threw the ball last year. Is that what you expect mm-hmm. this year, another kind of run-heavy or run-focused offense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing that's interesting is Bo Pelini kept the offensive coordinator from Eric Wolford there, at Shane Montgomery. He's a guy who was Ben Roethlisberger's offensive coordinator. He coached Terrell Owens back in the day. So he's kind of been around defensively. I think they're going to run the basically the exact same system. It's worked. The problem with Youngstown State over the last 5 years has not been offense. It's been defense and special teams.
Well, that's exactly where I was going next. And you kind of touched on it when you said Bo's going to, you know, essentially be the defensive coordinator. Is everyone kind of expecting a big impact on the – I mean, here at Pitt, you know, people at
– Yeah, I think, you know, number one, their defense has been really bad over the last, you know, 5 years. It's been a huge weakness. And so I think from, you know, that standpoint, you say, okay, Bo, maybe his defenses weren't great all the time at Nebraska, but they were good. And, you know, he's obviously good at LSU. So schematically, he's made things a lot like being a good coach. And I think, you know, the talent is there for them to do better at Youngstown State this year defensively. And I think now the coaching is there.
And then the last one, Joe, before we let you go, overall expectations for Youngstown State this season. I mean, I know everybody wants to win a national championship with the new coach, but what's I don't know. So
I think, you know, things are a little bit better maybe than they were in 2012, but I think it'll be a competitive game again. I don't think you're going to see a replay of those games in the, you know, mid-2000s when Pitt just slaughtered Youngstown State. I think, you know, that they're kind of at a point where they should be competitive. So competitive opener, I would expect Pitt to win, but I would, you know, also expect Youngstown State to make the playoffs for the first time.
All right, thanks. That's Joe Scalzo from the Youngstown Vindicator breaking down Youngstown State football for us And, yeah, I don't think Pitt's going to lose this game. I mean, they, you know, that was – that game in 2012, it happened. And that's kind of all you can say about it. It doesn't mean that – I mean, on that day, Youngstown State was the better team. If they played 10 times, Pitt probably – conclusion on who they were going to be. It just was not a good day. I can't say it wasn't a good day. It was a great day for me. My son was born at like 2 a.m. the night before the game, so I didn't actually go to the Youngstown State game. I just kind of glanced at Twitter occasionally and just kept going, wait, what? Wait, what? My son's birthday. But overall, not a good day for Pitt. I don't expect that to be repeated on September 5th of this year when Pitt hosts Youngstown State. All right, we are all out of time. We got to get out of here. Next week, we will turn our focus to running backs and the Akron Zips as our preview series continues. Looking forward to the 2015 football season. Check the website, Panther-Lair. Thanks to you for listening. We'll talk to you next Thursday. It's the Panther Lair Show on Triple Live Radio.